From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. This surprised me. The direct health care costs for Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia are already higher than for cancer or for heart disease. The financial burden alone, not to mention the emotional toll of watching a loved one lose their mind, can be devastating for families, and is probably going to get worse. By one estimate, the number of people with dementia will more than double by the year 2040. How are we going to deal with that? How are you dealing with it now?
My husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 07 and dementia a year and a half ago. He was a university professor for 34 years, a black diamond skier, a tennis player extraordinaire, and it's the most horrendous experience anyone can go through. I can't tell you what my life is like caring for a man who is just disappearing before my eyes.
A listener writes, my 93-year-old mother has been showing symptoms of Alzheimer's disease for 15 years. Her decline from a cheery, capable, independent person into her current near vegetative state has always been painful emotionally for both her family and caregivers, especially due to her independent lifestyle and her desire not to be a burden. Our family is fortunate that she has the financial ability to live in an adult family home because no family members were able to provide care in their homes. And this listener concludes, we give thanks daily for her amazing patient and loving caregivers and pray for her release from this life. We're at 206-543-5869. We're talking about the impact of dementia on your life. It's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at kuow.org. Joining us to answer some questions, Dr. Jim Leverenz, investigator at the University of Washington's Alzheimer's Clinic. He's been doing that for 15 years. Jim, maybe we can just start out by defining our terms. What is dementia? What's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's?
Very good question, Ross. Dementia really is a broad term, sort of an umbrella term that we use as physicians, as clinicians, that describes somebody who's had a loss of their thinking abilities and that loss has been sufficiently severe that they can no longer take care of their normal daily activities. And, of course, that can vary depending on the age of the person, right? If you're still working, maybe you lose your job because of your loss in memory. If you're older, maybe you can't take care of the same financial things that you used to be able to take care of. So that's that broad dementia. There are many causes. The most common cause in the elderly is Alzheimer's disease. So it's just one portion. It's a specific disease. One of the things that we're discovering, though, is as people get older, often there are multiple processes going on, not just Alzheimer's, often Alzheimer's with stroke, for example, or another disorder called Lewy body disease. And then, as we're finding out now, is one of your earlier quotes, Parkinson's disease patients are at very high risk for developing dementia.
Do we know what the cause is? Is a singular cause for all these varieties of dementia?
Unfortunately, I think no. We're finding that there are multiple causes, which makes it a very complex disorder to treat. We're not just treating Alzheimer's or just stroke or just Lewy body disease. We're treating a number of different disorders.
Do we know what causes it?
Not really. I think we're looking very hard. I think a lot of us are looking very hard at what kind of clues can we get from possible causes that might tell us about what kind of treatments might work the best.
Is there any way of predicting it? Can you tell that someone might have a genetic propensity towards dementia, Parkinson's?
Mm-hmm. So I think for dementia in general, we are finding that there are certain genes that people can inherit that essentially give you almost 100% risk. These are fairly rare. They often cause a very early form of Alzheimer's disease. But there are definitely also genetic risk factors. I always like to say we all know somebody who smoked all their life into their 90s and never got lung cancer. But similar, they're genes for that put you at risk for Alzheimer's. But if you have that gene, you don't necessarily get the disease. And there are people who don't carry the gene who still get Alzheimer's.
So it's not a certain predictor. But if that predictor is there and one finds out that you might have 100% or less of a chance of getting some form of dementia, is there anything you can do about it?
Well, there are some things. We do know, for example, as I said, in older individuals, most people with dementia have multiple causes going on. And we know one of the major coexistent changes in Alzheimer's is stroke. And we know how to help people prevent from having strokes, right? All the hard stuff, exercise, diet, blood pressure control, cholesterol levels, those sorts of things are very valuable. The other thing I think is, even as I get older personally, is starting to plan ahead. Talk to your children. What are your desires for your future? Who do you want to manage your medical care and your financial needs as you go further along? Because as you get demented, it gets very difficult to make those decisions.
And I'm going to get some phone calls in a moment. We're at 206-543-5869 if you have a question for Jim Leverenz, or maybe you'd like to tell us a little bit about what's going on in your family. I guess it shouldn't be surprising that this is such an expensive disease to take care of, because there are so many of us getting older, and that's when it tends to occur, and people live for many years with dementia, right?
That's correct. So you can see people living 10 and 20 years with dementia. And in fact, often in the older individuals with the disease, they die from something else even before the disease itself causes their death.
In late stage dementia, when it doesn't appear from the outside as though anything's going on, do we know from brain scans whether anything is something going on in the mind that simply cannot be communicated because of the diminished capabilities of the person with dementia?
That can happen. I think there is diminished ability to interpret your environment and know what's going on as you go further into the disease. But anybody who's had a relative with dementia will tell you that there are moments where it seems as if they're clear and they understand who you are and what's going on. There are some types of dementia that cause language problems, and there often people do definitely understand what you're saying, but they can't get their own words out. Which can be very, very frustrating.
Let's go to Anthony, who's listening to us this afternoon, and we're talking about the impact of dementia, the emotional impact, the financial impact. It's usually expensive and expected to get more so as the number of people with this are expected to double over the next few years up until 2040. Anthony, tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I don't mean in any way to diminish the tragedy for families which dementia can be, but in my personal case, it was more of a, I don't want to say godsend, but me and my dad always had a very strained relationship, and he had a lot of anger due to his experiences in the Second World War. And he developed dementia towards the end of his life. He passed away at 89, and we actually had a very pleasant relationship. And I think, ironically, largely due to the fact that he had dementia. And he was in perfect health, was only in hospice care for about a month, and had only suffered for dementia about a year, and was literally living independently until the last month of his life. So, ironically,
why do you think the onset of dementia may have allowed him to give up some of his anger and help you form a stronger relationship with your father, Anthony?
Well, I think that he just simply the dementia and the loss of his faculties, you know, basically, wound up taking a lot of the anger, a lot of the issues away. And ironically, in a lot of cases, people that are good-natured oftentimes will become aggressive, paranoid, and even physically violent with the onset of dementia. And in our case, God's blessing, it was a very non-typical experience for us.
Anthony, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Let's turn the conversation to the Mount Baker neighborhood in Seattle, where we have Frith on the line. Frith, your mom's been diagnosed?
She's diagnosed with some form of dementia, but it's a kind of variable diagnosis. We were never able to get a clear indication whether it was Alzheimer's or Alzheimer's with Lewy bodies. She's in Australia, so it's a little bit of a different situation than here.
How's she doing? How's she doing, and how are you doing with her?
She's in a pretty steady decline at this point. She's so thin and not interested in eating, and the nursing home staff say that, you know, the next head cold that she gets could kill her. She's been not herself for about 14 years, but we only got a firm diagnosis of some sort of dementia about 4 years ago, and at that point she was no longer capable of really taking care of herself. I would, if you're looking for advice for families about how to deal with this, the two things I would say would be, for yourself, make a plan, you know, before it's even possible that you're going to get diagnosed with something like this, for how you want to be cared for, so that once you have the diagnosis, you don't need to come up with that. I know my mom, as she was approaching the middle stages of her disease, was very fearful and very paranoid and very averse to taking any kind of medication or doing any sorts of tests. So that really held up the process of getting her care,
which she
wasn't interested in participating. But luckily, she and my brother had established a power of attorney for him to take care of her bank account and her treatment. So that was all in place at the point that we got the diagnosis. So without that, it would have been a nightmare. So I would suggest that people make a plan, make that known to their families, when you're 30 or 40, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, the mechanics of power of attorney and things like that are extremely important. Give me another example, Frith, of what you think should be part of the plan. What decisions should be made well before this even becomes an issue, so that it doesn't become even a bigger issue when things do happen?
I know in our case, my mother's great fear was that she was going to become a burden on somebody. And now it's ironic because she wears adult diapers and cannot care for herself at all. She's barely verbal. I hate to bring this up, but I know if she had had the option, she would have probably taken assisted suicide as a way out of the situation, because it's just so abhorrent to her to be in this condition. And I know that's not an option or even in the conversation for many people. And it's not an option for her. We were really lucky that she owned her own home. She's in Australia, where a lot of her care is paid for by the government. But without my sister-in-law caring for her, almost daily for about 4 years, and then my sister caring for her daily for about 2 years, I don't know what our family would have done. She couldn't have been in a nursing home that whole time, so her resources would have been used up.
Thank you for telling us about the story. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
The question of resources, as we've been saying, this gets extremely expensive. Jim Leverins, in Australia, it sounds like there are resources available. How about in the United States, if you have a loved one and you don't have the means to pay for all the expenses that come along with it?
Well, there are state institutions that can assist with nursing home payments. I'm not a social worker, so
sure.
I'm not. But they usually kick in after you've used up much of your own resources. And this could be particularly problematic for the young onset case, where perhaps you've spent down your resources and your 55-year-old husband goes off to a nursing home, but now here you are 55, you have no savings left.
Mm.
Can be very tragic and very financially ruining.
I know you wanted to talk about plans. Anything else you would add to what we heard from Frith about here's the things that go into a plan, here's the decisions you should be making well out in front?
I actually agree with her completely. I think it makes a lot of sense to have a plan, both financial and medical. I think on the medical side, it's good to think about and let your family know what kind of medical intervention you're willing to have if you have a dementia. And you can make those decisions. You can decide, do I want to be resuscitated if I have a cardiac arrest? Even to the point you can decide, do I want to have antibiotics when I get that fifth pneumonia?
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of people, there's no right or wrong decision, but for a lot of people, they can decide they don't want that intervention.
Anthony's story was so interesting because he said he felt as though a lot of the anger he felt from his father went away when he began to have dementia. Is that very often the case, that some issues that people have actually get less important when they enter into this stage of their lives?
I've certainly seen it, and I'd say most people worry about the opposite, that people get more aggressive and agitated and what I like to call irritable with dementia. But it can happen that their personality settles down. I think part of that may be their need for dependency now, and they reach out to relatives, and it is sometimes you feel a stronger connection.
We got this email from Dr. Michael Chung from the Department of Neurology at the Everett Clinic when he heard we were going to do this topic, and he wrote in part, "Dementia clearly ranks as one of the most important health concerns of our time. At the same time, our understanding and conception of the condition is undergoing rapid and significant evolution over the last few years. That makes me believe that further treatment options will be forthcoming," end quote. Jim Leverins, do you share his optimism of better treatment options being available for people with Alzheimer's and dementia?
I think I'm cautiously optimistic. I think there are a lot of resources going into this area. Some of the most promising new treatments have not come out as we would have expected over the last few years. There is a big effort now towards intervening even before people get memory loss, trying to identify people who are at high risk, as we were talking about earlier, and actually intervening at that point. There's a tremendous amount of effort, and like I always say, if we don't continue to put that effort, we won't get there.
Does intervention mitigate the impact of dementia? If you know, there's all these stories about you play puzzles or work mm-hmm. games and it's good for your mind. Can that prevent the onset of more severe dementia?
I think it modifies it. I think staying generally healthy, keeping your mind and body healthy, can help slow the progression, can help delay the onset. And I think once a person has dementia, the same thing occurs. People need to get out of their homes. I encourage people to get involved in senior center activities because we know that patients do better when they're out and they're social within reason.
Dr. Jim Leverance, an investigator at the University of Washington's Alzheimer's Center. We've been talking about dementia. The conversation continues. You can email us, conversation@kuow.org. If you missed part of the segment, it'll be up on our website, kuow.org, later on today, and you're welcome to post a comment if you weren't able to share your thoughts on the air. Jim Leverance, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
David Hyde produces our show with Arwood Nix. We get production help from Hannah Byrne, Cameron Drews, Andy Hurst, and Amber Cortez. Bernard Ouellette is our engineer. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.